Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And you have no idea how excited I am to talk to today's guest, because we're going to be talking about books. Yay! I love books. I think I live in a library. And I grew up in that generation where we read all the time, right? And they had book fairs at our schools and all these. And, you know, and we've gotten away from that, but it's okay. You know, we don't have to have physical books. We can do things on Kindle and all of those. But to me, books are the way that you escape and you learn and you grow. And so I am so excited to be speaking with Melanie Bell today. Melanie, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Well, let me tell people a little bit about you, and then we will jump into this.
Great.
So Melanie Bell is the founder of Leaders Who Fiction, an online book club and community that offers a unique way for people to acquire and develop leadership qualities through reading and discussing novels. On this fast-growing platform, leaders meet on the last Wednesday of each month for intellectual, business-oriented conversations centered around a selected novel. Melanie is also the co-founder of Strategic Peace, where she works with C-suite executives at growth stage companies to deliver exceptional revenue growth by bringing together their marketing, sales, and service teams around an information-driven customer experience built on the HubSpot platform. Oh my gosh, Melanie, like I said, we're going to have so much fun. But, you know, I always like finding out from my guests how it is that they got to where they are today. So how did you decide that combining fiction and business is the way to go?
Sure. So there were a few kind of kernels that dropped for me over several years. It wasn't a eureka moment so much. Exactly. Although those are always fun when they happen. Mm-hmm. So I started my career in marketing. And then after a few years, I went back and got my MBA. Mm-hmm. And after I finished business school, my friend recommended this sci-fi book. And I'm not a huge sci-fi reader, but mm-hmm. I was interested in this particular book. So I read it. And I remember laying on my couch reading this book and thinking, this is what we should have been reading in my organizational behavior class. It was so much better than a lot of the business books that I had read through business school. I think it would have gotten through to students a lot better. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of the first kernel. And then I didn't read as much once I was working as I did growing up, and I really mm-hmm. missed it. And so over a couple of years, I really wanted to get back into reading, and I started doing it. And as I talked to friends and clients and about what I was reading, so many people kept saying, like, oh my gosh, it's been so long since I've read a novel, and I really missed that. And so
read for fun.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so eventually it was just like, you know what? We just need the excuse mm-hmm. to prioritize something. And so that was where Leaders Who Fiction mm-hmm. came mm-hmm. was from that.
I love it. You know, and we talk about it sometimes. I mean, like, you know, one of the biggest things that I always hear is George Orwell's 1984, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, an Animal Farm. I mean, you know, those, you know, books like those, it really do pertain to, you know, just people in general, and then of course businesses. But, you know, as I was reading your information, one of the things I thought of, and like I said, I mean, this is just, I'm surrounded by books. Every room I go in has books, and I love books and all of those things. Is there a specific genre that works better for learning, you know, kind of the business thing?
So I think you can find it in any genre.
Okay. Even romance novels?
Oh, maybe not romance. Romance can be involved, but maybe not the primary genre. Mm-hmm. I do think a lot of sci-fi and fiction mm-hmm. books lend themselves mm-hmm. really well to leadership lessons. Mm-hmm. Anytime there's a trip or a journey with people, I think you just naturally get the human dynamics at play in politics mm-hmm. and all sorts of interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm currently reading a book that's just contemporary literary fiction mm-hmm. called Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. It came out a few years ago. Mm. And it's about two friends who start a video game development company. And so that one, I mean, they talk so much about their work lives right. in it. Mm-hmm. That lends itself obviously really well to this too. Mm-hmm. I think I try to keep the reading books a mix in the group so that mm-hmm. we're not reading in one genre. You know, we'll mix in some historical fiction, mm-hmm. Some thrillers. So, but a lot of times, again, maybe not romance. You've kind of stumped me on that. But now I'm going to have like this mission of like, can I find a romance?
A lot of times they've got a business that they're doing or something. And
yeah. Now I'm going to have to go find a romance book where I can pull leadership lessons from it.
A historical fiction might be, you know, because you can kind of cross those over with romance. But I love that, you know, and it's funny that we think that it's that we read, you know, if we're going to read, and yes, folks, you need to read. Hello, you need to be reading. I don't care if it's online, physical book, whatever. We always need to be increasing our knowledge are, you know, all sorts of things. And you get that through reading. But, you know, it's one of these things where it is, you know, I think we think it has to be either or. We can't be reading for fun and learning from it. And you really emphasize the fact that, no, it's both.
Right. Exactly. And I think in some ways I've kind of wrestled with that of like, have I co-opted? I do think people need to have hobbies and active interests, mm-hmm. and it's important to have time that's maybe not productive time. Mm-hmm. But this one, I'm just like, no, you can. It's got so many layered benefits right. and value mm-hmm. that you get out of it that it isn't an either or. It's a yes and.
Right. You know, and I read a lot of books, business books. Especially because of the podcast. You know, we have a lot of authors who are on, and I always tell them, you know, if you want to talk about your book on the program, you have to get me a copy. Now, it doesn't have to be a physical copy. They don't need to go through that expense. And so, you know, I get digital versions and I read through them. And it's really funny because the ones that I enjoy the most are the ones that include the stories and the personal anecdotes.
Yeah.
And I think that really is the key to it is then we go, oh, that's me. That could have been me. All of those various things.
Yes, exactly. And it's really, I've found as I've read around this, I mean, like, yeah, this is a nice theory, but is there any data that backs kind of my theories up? Mm-hmm. And one thing that I found really interesting was that from a neuroscience perspective, our brains switch into simulation mode when we read. Huh? And so we actually, when we talk about, you know, reading and you walk around in somebody else's skin, for instance, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but we actually really do. Our brains are when we read our brains, we are putting ourselves into that protagonist.
Right. Because we start visualizing it.
Yes, exactly. So,
And we, you know, like I said, a lot of business books, it's really hard to visualize the business things, right? When they start saying, hey, we had a client that this happened to, or, you know, knowing more about their backstory or things that happened to them, then it is, you know, we switch that on and we start visualizing it.
Yeah. So it is really powerful when you get to essentially go practice being in those scenarios. You don't have to necessarily always have to be in the school of hard knocks mm-hmm. in the same way. The reading can help save you on that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got on your website, you've got several resources that actually talk about how this happens, that fiction really can help you be a better leader. So tell us a little bit more about some of those, because I'm guessing we probably have some skeptics that are listening.
Sure. I mean, a lot of the benefits tend to err on what people call soft skills. Mm-hmm. And we can get in debate the term soft skills, as some people are like, oh, but those are the really important ones, empathy and communication. I think as I was mentioning before, if our brains are in simulation mode and we're experiencing life as somebody else, that mm-hmm. really impacts our ability to mm-hmm. empathize with other people. When we're reading, and I'll say quality literature, so, you know, not that there's anything wrong with a fun
chick lit beach books.
Right. Exactly. They've got their time and place. I'm not trying to knock them. Mm-hmm. But they're probably not where you're going to be like, oh, I'm becoming a better writer or a communicator. But I noticed that in myself, like I became more confident as I started reading more just in my communication with clients, that kind of thing.
Right.
So that's another one where it's really important. But I just think in terms of psychology and understanding people and being able to understand power dynamics at play and, I mean, that you really just get that a lot from literature.
Right. You know, and it is interesting because it's like you said, we put ourselves in those positions, and it's always fun when you get to the end of the book and you're like, so that's what I like about series, right? You know, because, yeah. You know, you can go on with them, but it is tricky because, you know, we think, well, this is fluff, and I'm going to use fluff just to cover all of them.
Sure.
And we're not learning something. But when did you first realize, you know, you kind of were touching on it, you know, when you were much younger, that this is something where people can learn to be leaders?
Yeah. So to me, the book I was reading was called Ender's Game, and it's by an author called Orson Scott Card. And it's actually a book that, you know, teenagers can read. It's right. Not necessarily adult fiction. Mm-hmm. And it's about the end of the world and someone trying to save the world mm-hmm. and having and being appointed into that leadership role where he really, the fate of the world is mm-hmm. on his shoulders. And it just, the group dynamics were fascinating in it. And the loneliness of a leader. I mean, I just, mm-hmm. the first time I became a manager, that, you know, right. that's a really hard mm-hmm. thing. All of a sudden, people who were your peers and your friends,
you can't go out for Friday night drinks.
Exactly. And so that one to me just was really that mm-hmm. first time, like I said, of being like, wow, this is like what we could have been reading. Mm-hmm. And should be reading, you know, in my opinion, should be reading to mm-hmm. be better leaders.
You know, and to me, like I said, I don't care what it is. I think we need to be reading. It mm-hmm. increases our vocabulary, just all sorts of things. And even for those who have challenges, you know, maybe they're dyslexic, maybe they didn't learn to read, you know, there are certainly ways, you know, to be able to do that. And, you know, so, but that does kind of bring me to, are audible books the same as if you're reading it? Do you absorb it the same way?
So I think it's a little bit different. Our brains are functioning in a slightly mm-hmm. different way. But I think audiobooks are wonderful.
Like, because right, you're still having to envision it, right?
I'm still visualizing it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, for almost our whole human history, mm-hmm. most of our storytelling has been oral storytelling. Mm-hmm. And it's only recently where we've had mass literacy mm-hmm. where people would be actually able to sit down and mm-hmm. read a physical book on their mm-hmm. own. And so I just think there's something to that oral storytelling tradition. And so if that's what you love doing, mm-hmm. then it still counts as reading.
Right. You know, and I always love it when it's the authors who are reading it, you know, because then I'm thinking, you know, they're, you're envisioning what they were thinking when they were writing it. Yes. You know, and so, but, and, you know, of course they're just reading it. It's not, you know, but yeah. they do, I think a lot of times put a little bit different twist on it. You know, yeah. they know, okay, I really wanted to emphasize this word and, you know, someone that's just being paid to do it, you know, might miss that those little nuances.
Yes. And I think what I found is like, there are certain people in our group who they really like audiobooks and they'll find a favorite narrator and then they'll go listen to all of the books that that person has read.
So there's something about that voice
that they really enjoy.
Interesting. I love that. Well, now you just mentioned your group. So talk a little bit more about that.
Sure. So, we've been around for about 2 years and it's a hobby project of mine to do this. And so, it's a really interesting, I think, mix of people that we have as part of the group. Mm-hmm. Very different types of professionals, some entrepreneurs, some not entrepreneurs, business coaches, consultants. I mean, kind of a wide gamut. Mm-hmm. And we run pretty strictly for an hour. And we actually talk about the book. So this is another thing, because we meet on Zoom over what is my lunch break.
And they have to have their cameras on, I'm guessing.
Most of the time, yes. Although if somebody has, most of the time people have occasionally an off day and then it's
right. Fine. Or they don't want people to see them eating lunch, right?
Yes. But most of the time people have their cameras on. Mm-hmm. And we talk about the book like a normal book club. And so we'll start off general impressions, big, you know, what did we notice? Who did we like or not like? And just kind of ease into it. But we do talk about leadership themes in each of the books. And so what's interesting is did you like this book or did you not like this book? It might help guide somebody of like, I'm facing this scenario. And I say at work, but we have leadership skills, whether we're at work or
right.
not.
You know, when you're trying to get your kids to do their homework, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I'm facing this scenario. Will this book help me or not? Sometimes that comes out in like, did you like this book, not like this book? And then we do talk about leadership themes and people's personal experiences, if they've got stuff that's relevant to that. And it's nice. The conversation stays pretty respectful, even when people disagree. And it's always fun when people disagree. And it's much more interesting to me that way. Yeah.
Right. So how do you pick your books?
So it's a combination of things. I do take recommendations from the group. If people think that there's a good book that's relevant, I'll take that into account. I try, like I said, to keep a mix of genres so that we're not just, you know, becoming a...
Right, it's not all science fiction or mysteries or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because I think one of the joys that people get out of a book club is that you read stuff that you wouldn't pick up on your own.
Right.
Sometimes that is, okay, kind of just forcing, we're going to read different genres. Mm-hmm. And I try to also keep a balance between male and female authors so that we're not too heavy on gender or the other. And then the other thing is I try to make sure that we're not picking books that are too long. So I'm really conscientious of the fact that people are doing this in their spare time as a hobby. And even though there's some phenomenal books, even they're just a little bit longer, I look at how long the audio book is and make sure that it's not... You know, I try to keep it under a
certain... So no War and Peace.
Definitely not.
I love it.
Yeah. And every once in a while, I get bummed because I'll read a book that's really good. And I'm like, this would be perfect for Leaders in Fiction. And I'm like, it's about an hour or 2 hours too long. And then I'm like, nope, it's not for that. So
do you read the books before you have the group read them to make sure that they're kind of, you know, that they're going to work?
Most of the time I do, unless it's a recommendation. So if it's a recommendation that somebody else has already read that book, then I'm okay with.
And then do they lead the conversation?
So we are about to have that for the first time, where someone is going to basically co-host the meeting with me. So our first time doing that will be in May.
I love it.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to see how that plays out. The good thing is our group is pretty, everyone's very respectful, but pretty chatty. And so the conversation tends to flow and it doesn't need a whole lot of encouragement along the way to get the conversation going either.
So do you have like specific things that you try and talk about every time? Almost, you know, I hate to use the word homework, but, you know, almost like that, you know, so that people know, okay, I'm looking for this, or I got to be prepared to talk about that, or.
We haven't really done that. I mean, minus, you know, okay, everyone knows that we're going to talk, what leadership themes did you pull out of this book? And we'll also talk pretty regularly about which character we found to be the most compelling leader and, you know, do compare and contrast leadership styles that we noticed in the book as well. So those are really the two sections that get the most kind of airtime repeatedly.
I love it. So I've got your website open and I'm looking at what you have coming up and it is, it's a big mix. And so, you know, your April 2024 book is All the Sinners Bleed, which is considered a thriller. So that's kind of interesting. May is the Lonely Hearts Book Club. And that's been around a while. So that'll be interesting. And it's considered coming of age. And then your June book is The Alchemist. And that really has been around quite a long time.
Yeah.
And it's considered fantasy. So I love that. And you know, I was just kind of looking through here. You've got, you know, historical fiction, science fiction, literary philosophy, mystery, you know, so it really is, you can get something from all of it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it keeps it more interesting to have the different genres that we're pulling from. I will say, because there's no requirement, you know, if someone wants to join us, it's like they can show up for a meeting and then not come the next month. Or we've had some people and they come, I mean, we've been around for 2 years and they'll come twice a year. And so there's not like a hard and fast obligation for this. I think you get more out of it if you're the more you come.
Right. Because you start interacting with the people.
Yes. But we do have people who are like, they show up when we're reading a sci-fi fantasy book.
Okay. Okay. So that's just what they prefer. And they're that's like, no, this is dystopian science fiction. Maybe I don't like that.
Right. Exactly. And then but a lot of the people that are part of the group do like reading the mix and reading stuff that they wouldn't have read on their own.
Right. You know, and I'm looking through the books that you've done. Many of them I've not heard of. And so I like that. You're like, here's one. This was last year called The Overstory, and it was political nature and environment. So that just sounds like something that would have been, you know, very, very interesting. And like you said, it's one of these things where it's not something people normally, maybe in many cases, would read.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And that book was, that was a good learning. I've had a lot of good learnings in the last 2 years of doing this. That one, for the most part, people really enjoyed, but that was definitely one of those books that was just, I think, a little bit too long for 1 month. And at the time, what I was doing was we would take a break over the summer and that would be it. We read that over the course of 2 months.
Oh, okay.
But the feedback that I've gotten from people is that they wanted a meeting every month. Mm-hmm. And so we no longer have a summer break, but I'm not going to pick a longer book to read. Then we'll just keep it shorter.
Hey, I love it. Yeah. So what are some of your favorites and why? I mean, you've talked about a little about some already, but what are some more of the ones that you were just like, ooh, I could read it again and again and again.
Yeah. So one of my favorites was the very first book that we read called The Mercies. It's by an author named Kieran Millwood Hargrave. And she's a British author. And it is historical fiction. And it takes place in Norway in the Arctic Circle in, I want to say, like the 900s. And it starts in this little tiny town. And all of the men go out to do a whale hunt because they've spotted a whale. And that's how they get the energy and food for the town. And this wave, and this is based on a true story. This wave comes up out of nowhere and all the men die.
Oh no.
And so in this town, it's only women and children who are left. And they have to figure out how to survive on their own when it's considered inappropriate for women to go hunt.
Right.
Women to do a lot of the tasks that men did. And so that particular book, I love the writing in it. And then the story I felt like was really compelling and interesting of this town that gets divided between the women who, I don't know how they would survive without the other group, but the other group mm-hmm. who is okay farming and mm-hmm. hunting and doing all of these male tasks for survival. So that was a really good one. We read one last year called The Final Revival of Opal and Nev. That's a really fun one. They had really interesting leadership, different leaders in that book. Mm-hmm. And then another one, and I think this was like a crowd favorite, was Project Hail Mary that we read in January this year, which is a sci-fi book. It's another mm-hmm. like end of the world mm-hmm. one. And as I'm talking,
they're doing a Hail Mary, right? To survive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. I was like, as I'm talking, I'm like, oh, and Parable of the Sower was really good. Mm-hmm. Like, there, I love them all. I mean, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed a lot.
I mean, that's where it's hard that it's only once a month, right?
Yes, it is. Well, and it's funny because I'll get recommendations, and because some people are slower readers and don't come mm-hmm. to every meeting, I try to make sure that we always have on the website what books we're going to be reading 3 months
right.
mm-hmm. out. So I'll get a recommendation and I'm like, and I've got kind of have the books lined up for a while in mm-hmm. advance. So it can be hard. I'm like, okay, we'll get to your book in 10 months time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
so how many are in the group right now?
Of
consistent attendees, maybe I should say.
Okay. Consistent attendees were about 8 or 10.
Okay.
And then kind of the broader community, there's about 30 or 35 okay. people that are part of it. So it's still small. And then, I mean, I'd like to see it grow. Mm-hmm. And then as we grow, if we got up to, I think the point will be if we consistently get about 15 people coming to meetings, mm-hmm. then we'll split into two
okay.
for two meeting times. Mm-hmm. That way the people still get mm-hmm. time to talk about.
Right. Yeah. You know, because as you said, it's that conversation that, you know, and once you get, especially on Zoom, if people are having to go between screens and all sorts of stuff, no, then you lose
yeah. it. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, breakout rooms work really well for certain mm-hmm. things, but I feel like one of the things that's been really interesting is that as the members get to know each other, you know, they'll recommend, I know so-and-so will really like this mm-hmm. book. I'm really curious what that person is going to have to mm-hmm. say about this particular issue. And mm-hmm. so I think that there's something to be said for kind of, I don't want to just arbitrarily assign people mm-hmm. into a breakout room, because I think that there's a nice cohesion
right. where
it's the same group mm-hmm. on an ongoing basis.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. I do breakout groups in several of the things that I'm part yeah. of. And, you know, you know each other's kind of shorthand, right? And I always feel bad when there's like several of us that know each other and somebody new joins.
Yeah.
You know? Because you try to include them, but then you're like, oh my gosh, Melanie, remember what we talked about?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, I think there's always going to be a little part of that you can't escape. But I don't, the feedback that I've gotten from new people has been pretty positive about okay. how
they've been welcomed.
Yeah. And I think also the other thing I'll get feedback from someone who's come from the first time, they're like, wow, that really wasn't like my high school English class. I think, you know, there's almost like this, mm-hmm. am I going to be able to keep up with this conversation? Especially, I mean, I didn't like high school English. I was totally mm-hmm. lost in that class. And so I think that there's kind of this perception that maybe reading isn't for someone because mm-hmm. they didn't do well in high school English, or they didn't like the way it was mm-hmm. taught. It wasn't fun. It's like, yeah, this is mm-hmm. not what we're trying to do here.
Right. Right. Men mainly, women mainly?
We're skewed a bit more women than men.
Okay. That would be what I would have guessed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But we do have several regular male attendees as well. But yeah, it's skewed a little bit more mm-hmm. women. So
yeah, I love it. You know, and it is, it's fascinating to think, you know, you can be taking these books that somebody goes, oh, this is a thriller. This is, you know, this is sci-fi. And really, you know, and I'm exactly like you. I'm thinking, you know, because I have an MBA. Oh my, if they had included some of the books in some of the things that we had done, mm-hmm. it would have made, you know, it would have made it so much better. Because again, you visualize it. And when you visualize it, then it stays in your brain longer. You know, I've seen, you know, there's a lot of studies that say writing, handwriting things, yes. as opposed to writing, you know, tapping it out on a computer, you're going to remember it a lot longer. Now I will look at it and go, I can't read that. I don't know what I just wrote. you know, and so I don't know if that's, but yeah, it is, you know, when we engage our brains more, we're going to remember it longer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I mean, I think we talk about, or, you know, I haven't actually seen as much recently, but you talk about like the 21st century job skills that are needed. And it's,
okay.
it's creativity and mm-hmm. problem solving and teamwork. Mm-hmm. And I think so much of there is like, you need the imagination. And I'm like, this is stuff that, you know, business leadership isn't all about reading income statements and right. P&Ls and that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we do need that innovation and the imagination aspect to it. And so it's, I think this is just such a nice mm-hmm. compliment.
Right.
That can be there.
Right. Yeah. And it's funny because as we've been talking, one of the things that I kept thinking about is Harry Potter. Now, of course, you could not do this, obviously, for many reasons, you know, not the least of which is there's a whole bunch of them, you know, but yeah, just the things that as you're watching the, you know, either reading the books or watching the movies as an adult, you go, oh, yeah, okay, Harry was I almost said a different name. Harry was the leader. And yeah. you know, one of the things that always struck me was when he would want to go off on his own. Mm-hmm. And Hermione, and it was always Hermione, would say, you're not in this alone. And to me, that's one of the biggest leadership things is so many times, it's funny because leaders do have to be alone, but they still need the support of others. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I think that's one of the trickiest things for somebody to do is to know when to ask. And we're seeing, I think, and maybe these are, you know, these darn millennials that we all fuss about who, you know, are teaching us these things. You know, you're younger, but I am of the baby boomer generation. And so they're saying, yeah, you know, we need more of the soft things and our leaders need to reach out and ask for help. And it's, you know, and because it's funny, you know, I talk to a lot of business owners, a lot of people who want to own businesses, both here and you know, out in the real world. And yes. so many times they say, you know, I own the business. I'm the manager. I'm the whatever. Mm-hmm. I have to do it all. I have to not admit that I don't know, you know, yeah. and that I need help. And I think that's where in all of these books, we see that, yeah, they do ask for help. They need help. You know, Gandalf asked for help. Am I on the right book or did I just switch to Lord of the Rings?
I think it was a switch, but I'm following.
I think I just switched, right? You. Yeah, you know, that's, you know, can you tell what I like? But yeah, you know, those type of people, they ask for help. You know, mm-hmm. when Harry, you know, now granted, there was a certain point where Harry had to go on his own, but then he had the ghosts of the people around him. So he still was not alone. You know, and I think that's so much, it's so important for leaders to know it's okay to ask for help. And more importantly, to say, I don't know everything.
Yeah, definitely. We had part of the conversation that we had with Project Hail Mary. So this guy is on the spaceship and he's whatever, however many light years away from mm-hmm. Earth, and he's by himself.
Yeah.
And so one of the conversations that we had, we didn't really come to a conclusion, but it was an interesting conversation with, if it's just you, mm-hmm. do you still have, is that considered, like, can you lead yourself? Are you leading yourself?
Right.
With leadership skills, if you're...
That is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like I said, we didn't really kind of have any like amazing aha, here's our formal conclusion on it. But I just think the conversation itself is interesting to have around that. So.
Well, and it's funny because a lot of times in those situations, the lonely person, the alone person creates something, another figure, whether it's the volleyball that they're talking to or, whatever, because they need that feedback, and so obviously they're talking to themselves, but they're the antagonist, they're the protagonist, they're, all of those things. And sometimes it's that you just need to say it out loud in order for you to kind of work through those situations.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Well, what are some more of your favorites? Because I'm thinking reading list. We're writing reading list, right?
Yeah. I will say this book that I'm reading right now is Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. I want to like now recommend this book to everyone. It's definitely going to be on one of my favorite lists. I read, I'm trying to think. I don't know that it would be necessarily a good Leaders Who Fiction book, but it is one of my all-time favorite books, which is The Book of Form and Emptiness.
Hmm.
And the author is called Ruth Ozeki. And I still think they're probably good leadership.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm saying, it's not a good fit. I'm like, well, there's still that section. Right. That would be relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, like I said, I mean, even just reading for fun is...
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. We all need hobbies.
Right. Yeah. It's, and I think it's sad that the literacy rates are dropping. I haven't seen anything, but I'm still told by any place, you write at the sixth grade level when you're writing something.
Yeah.
And now obviously it depends on who your audience is. If you're writing for PhD people, you're not going to write at the sixth grade level.
Please don't write at the sixth grade level.
Yes. Yes. but for the most part, when you're, and which to me is sad because you'd think that, we should at least be writing to the high school level, and I don't know. I mean, I started to read when I was very, very young. It was one of those things. And one of the things that is my most treasured memory, my dad went to eighth grade. I mean, that was where he stopped. Mm-hmm. But to him, reading was very, very important. I mean, he read every night. He had to read a little bit, but he would read to me. Mm-hmm. And it was, Misty of Chincoteague and, all those books that I got at Scholastic Book Fairs, right?
Yeah.
And all of those. And if he wasn't able, mom couldn't do it. And I would not read on my own. And the funny thing was I could read, I actually read at a higher level than he did, probably, from a fairly young age, but him reading to me was what was so important. And he could have probably been reading the newspaper and I wouldn't have cared, but I think that's just one of those things. So maybe that is why, I learned at a very early age, just how important reading can be, because it's not just the reading of that book. It's that time you're spending together. And like you said, you dedicate an hour once a month to talk with people about this. So you're not just reading the book, you're having a conversation about it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And we actually, we had a couple of members who were regular attendees and then they got new jobs and promotions and then it hasn't worked for them to keep coming.
Yeah, it is kind of hard to tell your boss, well, I have this reading club.
Exactly. But I'm working on my leadership skills. It's okay.
Right.
You
should write notes for them to give to their bosses.
Yeah, so I have started doing, I haven't done the permission notes, but I have started putting together summaries. And earlier this year, I launched an online community forum so that people who couldn't attend the meetings could still take part in the conversation about the books. So that's been interesting because it's like people have read the book and then they want to know what the others have thought about and want to share their opinions. And it was funny because before that, everyone would email, if they couldn't make the meeting, they would email me and, I'd get sometimes like a page.
Here's what I thought about.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, we need a way for you to share this with everybody else too. So it is.
Yeah. Because everybody is going to get something different.
Yes. Yeah. And it's so much fun to talk about it with, mm-hmm. with other people. And I can't remember what company does this, but there's a consulting group where they go in to different companies and will take a team of people or a mm-hmm. department and have all of them read the same book mm-hmm. at the same time. So do like an internal book mm-hmm. club.
And is it fiction or is it a business book?
Fiction.
Okay.
They'll do fiction. And they said it's been really good. Like, yes, good for team building, but it's also been good when the team has had an ongoing issue mm. and it gives them a shared vocabulary mm-hmm. to talk about that issue. And when you're pointing it out and you're not saying, oh, Bob in accounting,
right.
You're talking about characters in a book, people's defenses go down. Mm-hmm. And so they're more
right.
open.
You still know feedback. You're talking about Bob in accounting.
Exactly.
But,
yeah. Nothing is Bob in accounting. But that people will be less defensive in those conversations when they're mm-hmm. really talking around a book. So I think mm-hmm. that's another kind of interesting mm-hmm. Application for reading fiction.
I love that. You know, and we just need breaks, right? You know, the world is icky. And, you know, so to be able to put ourselves, you know, 100 years ago, 100 years in the future, you know, whatever it is, just for that period of time, it kind of gives your brain a break.
Definitely. Absolutely. And it's amazing. I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it's something like even reading for 6 minutes mm-hmm. has a massive impact and decreasing our stress levels.
Right.
And so it's way more effective than pretty much anything else. It's more effective than going for a walk, even at decreasing stress levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we need more fun, but we mm-hmm. also need to decrease our stress. So
And we're not saying Wall Street Journal or no, because that's right. probably gonna, that you're still thinking business when you're doing those.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And you're not visualizing. You know, I keep coming back to that. It is that whole thing of, you're putting yourself in that town, in that character, and it's almost like, an actor when they become that character that they are portraying. We see, stories about that where, they were like, I did not want to associate with so-and-so when we were filming because he stayed in character the whole time and he was scary, or whatever. Yeah. They mentally stay in that. What is method acting? That's it.
Yeah.
And I think, I think that is a big part of when we're reading, you pick out either, a certain character that you're going to kind of focus on, or you kind of hop around, and all sorts of things. But,
yeah.
It is hard to read without visualizing it. Especially fiction. Being in a boardroom, bleh. Working on a website, bleh. Stranded on the island, trying to figure out who's going to be the ruler. You're thinking about that. You're feeling the hot sun, the sand between your toes, all of those things.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So do you have favorite books?
I always
look for recommendations too.
I know. I to be honest, I do read more of the chick lit and beach books, nice. Which is really funny. And just because I do read so much business that I totally want to put my brain on neutral. Yeah. And so I read those. But now if you were asked my husband that question, it would be a totally, because I need to show him this, because I think, and I'll be honest, I'm going to sign up as soon as we're done. I think this is absolutely fascinating, but, and aside from anything, it will, as you said, I'll be reading things that I wouldn't normally read, and so that will be good, but yeah, it's so interesting because my husband and I do not have the same taste in books. I'll look at what he's reading and go, bleh. And he'll look at what I'm reading and go, it's just like TV programs, movies, all of those things. Right.
Yeah.
But it's, to me, the whole thought of that, the actual discussion, I mean, that is obviously what the appeal is.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, we're going to veer off just a little bit. I'm not going to go too much squirrel, right? But we've been talking about leadership, and so you know, and we talk about that a lot on this program, and being the owner, being the manager, being the hoover does not make you a leader. Mm-hmm. And I think so many times that's where there are issues is, you know, this person is in charge, but they're not a leader. So how are some things, you know, that especially first time, because, you know, I was one of these people. I got promoted to be the head of. Yep. I had no clue, you know, yep. So, you know, how can we help our first time leaders really become that good leader?
Yeah. I mean, I think my experience was very similar to yours of the like, when I interviewed for the job, I kept using the term manager and leader interchangeably. Mm-hmm. And I finally got called out on it. And they're like, right. You realize that mm-hmm. those are two different mm-hmm. things. Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Right.
So, I mean, I think to me, some of the biggest is things that would have helped me, would be very active mentorship.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because I just think, especially when that kind of like that loneliness sets in, I think mm-hmm. that is really helpful to have somebody to go mm-hmm. to bounce ideas off mm-hmm. of, or be able to talk about that, to know that that's a normal experience. I think people just talking about what their experiences are is really helpful. So right. I think now we have podcasts and blogs and all sorts mm-hmm. of really helpful resources that I think can really help mm-hmm. somebody who's in that first time position of authority, and how do they do it with leadership mm-hmm. skills. I think continuing to make those types of resources available mm-hmm. will be really powerful. When I did it, and I mean, my company was really small, so it wasn't like I got to go on a training course or something mm-hmm. for it. And I went to my boss and was like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, what should I go do? And they said, well, go read psychology books. All of this is psychology. Go read psychology books.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which I think is also some good advice, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I think I needed some more active support.
Right. Or they'll tell you, we'll send you to learn how to do budgets.
Yes.
I can either do a budget or I can delegate it. Right. But yeah, it's the people thing. And I think what's always, now I have not been in corporate America for quite a long time, but obviously I have clients and things. And what always fascinates me is when the leader is not the manager, the department head, all of those things. And that's always a very entertaining dynamic.
Yes, definitely. I was actually having a conversation last night with some women that was about their leadership experience throughout their career. And they were at, you know, retirement age. And, you know, they were talking about that when you had age authority mm-hmm. versus the positional authority. And so they're feeling now with work that they're doing, they're like, I have age authority, but I don't have the positional authority. Mm-hmm. And that was really interesting to mm-hmm. to hear about as well. Right. There's so many different dimensions to mm-hmm. it.
Well, and one of the things that I love is that we're finally figuring out that we need to have a mix of, say, the feminine and the masculine, what we've traditionally called those, right? Mm-hmm. So empathy, you know, but also being able to say, you know, no, the buck stops here, right. You know, and I think for so long, and especially when we had, you know, and it is obviously still this way, you know, just sheer numbers, male leaders. And they think, oh, we have to be John Wayne, right? We have to be tough. We have to be firm. And of course, a really good leader has empathy, has understanding, you know, all of those various other things. And back to, you know, we see it in books where they're like, oh yeah. You know, this person, you know, they understood what was going on. But even the business books that, you know, especially the new ones, they're really talking about that, the fact that, you know, you have to have that combination. And it's hard, I think, for women, because we're the nurturers. You know, we don't want to say, do this or I will fire you. Mm-hmm. But it's really funny because you can tell that to your kids, right? Do this or you don't get whatever. Yeah. And it works just fine. But yeah, it's, you know, we want to have that empathy, that understanding. And sometimes it's just nah, you know, I lead a volunteer group where I had to do something the other, you know, a week or so ago where I thought they're going to hang me up by my thumbs. Yeah. You know, but it was a decision that had to be made. And, you know, it was interesting. And, you know, hopefully I've learned from, you know, all the people I've talked to and things like that, because, you know, I said, you know, I received guidance from others. I received this, I did that, but I was the one who made the decision.
Right.
And because that was part of it, you know, people were wanting to blame other people. And it was so interesting because it was very cute. They were wanting to save me from being blamed, but it was like, no, you know, yes, I got support from him and suggestions from him, but this was my decision. But you talk about some sleepless nights, right? Where, you know, it was like, they're going to hate me. And, you know, the vast majority probably didn't care. I mean, that was kind of the funny part. And then you had your two vocals. You had your, oh my God, we're really, really mad. And you're the greatest thing in the world. But yeah, it is, it's challenging. And as you said, that's where we need mentors. We need people that we can say, have you gone through this? And what was, you know, what are some suggestions you have?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And that is where it's hard for women, you know, because especially as we get higher and higher in businesses, there's not a lot of those people, but right. I think we are learning. And the really funny thing is, I think we thought we have to have a female mentor.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. Doesn't have to be a female mentor.
Right.
Can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and men can have female mentors also.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, I don't know, in my head for a long time, I'd be like, I need to find my mentor. And it's like, no, it's okay to have, mm-hmm. you know, your board of advisors,
right.
kind of mm-hmm. your own personal board of advisors, and have a group of people mm-hmm. where they have different experiences mm-hmm. and different skill sets and different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And they'll share those with you, and then you get to make the decision yourself.
Right. Yeah. And like you said, then you have to make the decision. And I think that is one of the hard things. Right. Where it's like, you know, but Harry Potter had to decide, this is what I'm going to do. Right. You know, and all of these back to the books, it really did, you know, no matter what it is, you know, even if it's the romance, it was usually the she, right. You know, she had to decide, was she going to marry him and ride off into the sunset or not? Yeah. But yeah, it just doesn't go well. She couldn't decide. So they went and had cookies.
Yeah.
That's not going to be a good book.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So what are some other tips that you have for folks?
I said this a couple of times. I really do think that people need to have hobbies. I've noticed, and I'm not sure why this is, but almost people making jokes about hobbies or looking down on people mm-hmm. that have hobbies. And I'm like, I feel like one of the things that I really appreciate that, or think we got out of the pandemic mm-hmm. was that we all of a sudden, our whole lives were in one space. And so
right.
just going to work and we're going home, it was like, nope, home and work very much. Yeah.
Wow. Change this chair, right? And if you were exactly. lucky, you got to change chairs.
Yes, definitely. And so I just think, if it's reading, that's great. If it's a different activity or something else that really speaks to you, but having those active interests outside of work, I just think it's just so important. And we can talk about, it was like, we could talk about burnout. We could talk about that. Mm-hmm. There's so much that we get out of having creative interests outside of work.
Right. Well, and outside of your family also, you know, yes, you know, people should be devoted to their children, you know, and but at some point those little kids go fly that nest, right? And mm-hmm. you know, so if you've had that hobby, that whatever, all along, then maybe it grows, maybe it doesn't. And of course, I think one of the fun things that we've seen is the people who their hobby became their business. Yeah. And you know, I'm looking at you, because yeah, you were reading books and, you know, not that this is this huge money-making million-dollar thing, but you know, it can be a business, you know, where people pay for memberships and they maybe already do, sorry. But
they don't, not right, not yet.
But yeah, I mean, you know, as it grows, that will be something to really be thinking about is, you know, how can you monetize it? And go forward. And I think that's something that so many people think, well, it's back to the books. You know, it's not either or. Your hobby can be your passion that you make money at.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly. So,
well, Melanie, we didn't even talk about your other life, your business life. So tell us very shortly about Strategic Peace.
Sure. So, I think the introduction covered a lot of it. We work with companies that have B2B business models. Most of the time, companies that have already launched, they have a few customers under their belt, so they know what it takes to get a sale. And then they're ready to turn a marketing engine on to up their sales. And so that's really our sweet spot where we come in and help them figure out the marketing aspect, but making sure that we do the top of the funnel brand awareness, lead generation stuff, but also that it's really thought through the entire life cycle that a customer will go through.
I love it. Yeah. And how do they find out more about that?
So the website is Strategic Peace, P-I-E-C-E, strategicpeace.com.
Not peace.
Exactly. But we do have a lot of puns for that. Yeah.
I love it. And how do they find out more about Leaders Who Fiction?
Sure. So the website for that is leaderswhofiction.com. People can also find me on LinkedIn, and then hopefully pretty obvious how to follow that. And then from the website, people can sign up for meetings. I do ask people to need to register to get the Zoom details, and then that way it gets on people's calendars. But also, I know how many people to expect in the meetings. And like I said, it's right now it's free to join, so there's not a cost involved, and people can just show up and read the book and then show up.
right. Got to read the book first. And exactly. Not Cliff Notes folks version. No,
yeah.
You know, but it's okay to listen to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, you have to have read the book.
Yes. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. And again, the website is
leaderswhofiction.com.
Cool. Well, you know, I knew we were going to have so much fun, and I'm going to sign up. I think this is great fun. It's really funny, but I'm looking at the first book going, I'm not sure that's my cup of tea. You know, and so the April book, as we said, is All the Sinners Bleed. So I might skip and not go until, but anyhow, you know, it's interesting. Like you said, you know, it's not required attendance. So, you know,
exactly.
that's fun. But if I don't sign up now, I'll forget. So I will do that. But do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
I think the one thing I will say, because people will always ask me this, and they'll say, well, what would you say to people who aren't readers? I'm like, then don't read. It's okay if you're not a reader. Go find your thing. But if you are a reader, it doesn't need to always fall off your plate. It can be a priority. So that's it. That's mine.
I love it. Well, I've been having so much fun talking with Melanie Bell, the founder of Leaders Who Fiction. I'm Deb Creer, and until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.